thanks for sharing. Appreciate that a lot. I like the English accent. It's always fun to listen to you guys. We are more used to the American accent over here at Tarnów, so it's great. I want to focus tonight on, I call it true identity, or whatever name you give it. But I want to speak on it because we're often deceived as far as our identity is concerned. And the interesting thing is that Satan, sometimes we don't count on Satan. We don't really believe that he is also here. I don't believe he's everywhere all the time. But what he tries to do is to confuse us in our identity. And he is pretty successful. Let me give you an example. But let's assume you stand on an island in the middle of the sea. You just stand on an island. There is one tree. You are naked. You have no clothes. You have no profession, no passport, nothing. And the voice from heaven comes and says, "Who are you?" You wouldn't know. You wouldn't know because in and of yourself, you have no identity. Now let's assume that a message in a bottle, it's a movie, but there's a bottle coming with a message and you pick up the bottle, you pull out the paper, and on that paper it says, "You are my son, I, the father, am looking for you." And one day later, actually a boat arrives. A guy jumps out of the boat, runs to you, hugs you, and says, "Son, I finally found you." Now, if the voice comes again, "Who are you?" You know who you are. "I'm the son of this man." What do we learn from that? That our identity must come from the outside. We don't have it in ourselves. Somebody gives us an identity because we don't have it in and of ourselves. A man I highly appreciated, he died in the meantime, but Dr. Viktor Frankl, I often quote him for a good reason, but he developed a logotherapy after Freud and Adler, the third Vienna school it's also called. But he survived three concentration camps. He was a Jew, and he also survived Auschwitz. And when he came to Auschwitz, he still had some, he was a doctor, he still had some papers. And as he came there, they took away his papers, burned them, of course. And then they had to take off all their clothes completely. And then they were shaved on the whole body, head, and everything else on the body. And then they took a shower, a short one, and then they stood there, hundreds of naked people, no hair, nothing. And he stood there and he asked himself, "Who am I?" Because it didn't matter if you're a doctor or a bus driver or a secretary, who am I? Me. Now, who are we? The question is not whether we ask the Lots of people ask the question. The question is, where do you get the answer? From where are you trying to find an answer to that question? You see, there are basically two ways to find out. We can try to find our identity by what the world thinks or by how God thinks. Now let's just briefly investigate the first. If we try to find our identity according to this world, you have three options. You can say, first point, I am what others think I am. I am what other people think I am. You know what people say I am? That's me. Well, the problem, if that is you, is it changes drastically. Let me take myself. Some people would say that I'm a fairly nice and a humble and friendly man. You find some people who would say that. But there are other people who say that I'm crazy, I'm extreme, I'm arrogant, and whatever. Now, what is my identity now? It depends whom I'm listening to, because the opinions are so far apart. Sometimes people ask me, what does your wife think about you? Well, it depends when you ask her. Sometimes my wife will tell you that I'm a good husband, but sometimes she will tell you I'm not a good husband at all. It's hard. If I try to find my identity by what other people think, I have a problem. Secondly, what I can try to do is, I am who I think that other people think I am. We do that quite often. We think that we are what other people think about me. But here we sometimes are totally wrong. Let me give an example. My wife, she likes to clean. She's a pretty clean lady. Our house is pretty clean. Those who live there probably know that. But sometimes when visitors come into our kitchen, you know what's the first thing? And she didn't clean two cups, you know, they still stand on the cupboard. The first thing she would say is, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't have time to clean up. Because she thinks that the people think that the kitchen is a mess. Now, actually people come in and think the kitchen is sterile. But she thinks that they think something else. So if we get our identity by what we think that other people think, we may sometimes be totally wrong. We have some farmers in Ramsau, it's almost fun. But they get up at 5 o'clock and switch on the light and then they go to bed again. Because they think if the light is not on in the stable at 5 o'clock, the other farmer thinks he's lazy. So he gets up at 5, switches on the light, goes to bed again, and then he goes to the stable at 7. But actually the other people think he's nuts. But they think he's lazy. You see, all I want to show you with that is, we are sometimes completely wrong by what we think that other people think. Now you can also say, well, I forget all this. I just am who I think I am. Well, again, I have a problem. Because some days I think of myself pretty well. I have some days where I think, Hans-Peter, you made it. You're a good guy. Good things happen. It's okay. I have some days like this. But I have some days where I feel so rotten, where I feel such a failure, and I rather want to die. Now who I am? Who am I? Depends what day I pick. Now, this is one possibility. I can also try to find my identity by learning to think what God thinks about me. If you have a Bible, turn with me to John chapter 2. John chapter 2 and verse 23 to 25. John 2, chapter 23, we read, now while he, that is Jesus, was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name. Now listen, but Jesus would not entrust himself to them. Why? For he knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man. Jesus knows exactly what is in a man. Now, we sometimes go around and say, what do you think about that person? Can you tell me, what is this person like? Jesus never has to do that. He never needed to do that because he knew exactly what's in a man. Now, what does God think about you and me? Ash, if we can just switch that on briefly. I don't even give you Bible verses. It's all Bible verses. You can find them for yourself if you like to. But this is what the Word of God says about you and me. It says that in the old life, that is a life without God. You're born of the flesh. Yes, that's you and me. This is this piece of meat. That's part of me. But the new life in Jesus Christ, we are born of the Spirit. That's what the Bible says. In the old life, we belong to the kingdom of darkness. In the new life, we belong to the kingdom of His Son. In the old life, I'm in bondage. In the new life, I am set free. In the old life, the law of sin and death operates. The new life, the law of the Spirit of life operates. In the old life, God says, we are lost. In the new life, we are saved. Now, I want you to be aware of the difference between this side and this side. This is like night and day. In the old life, I'm spiritually dead. In the new life, I'm alive in Christ. In the old life, I'm called a sinner. In the new life, I'm called a saint. The old life, I'm condemned. In the new life, there is no condemnation because I'm in Jesus Christ. These are all Bible verses. Old life, I'm living in darkness. In the new life, I belong to the light. In the old life, I'm unrighteous as far as God is concerned. In the new life, I have been made righteous because of Christ. In the old life, I'm unholy. In a new life, I have been made holy. Please beware the difference. In the old life, I'm defeated because I served the enemy. In a new life, I always am led in triumph. Old life, I have no inheritance. In a new life, I'm a co-heir with Christ. Some of those mountains you saw today, they belong actually to me. Because I'm a co-heir. Some other people use it now, but they actually belong to me. In the old life, I'm alienated from God. In the new life, I'm a participant of His divine nature. In the old life, there is no blessing from a fallen nature. In the new life, we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. That's what the Bible says. The old life is empty as far as God is concerned. In the new life, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. In the old life, I'm created by God. In the new life, I'm born of God and His child forever. Now, this is what God thinks about you once you are in Christ. There's only two kinds of people on this world. This history is not divided between before Christ and after Christ. This world is divided between people who are in Christ and people who are outside of Christ. If you are in Christ, everything of this side is true. I'm a co-heir, I'm holy, I'm made righteous, I'm a saint, I'm alive, I'm saved. That's the identity that God gives me. Now, why is this so important? Because God's opinion about me never changes. If you rely on the opinion of people of who you are, it changes every week. God's opinion about you never changes. I have a good illustration. It's not my invention. It's from, what's his name?
Bob George.
Bob George, thank you. I like the way he put it. Our identity is of the depends on the content who is in us. You see, this is a jar. German, ein Glas. Put this first. Put it up a little higher. Ice. Yeah. This is a jar. Ein Glas. This is a jar of applesauce. Now, why is this a jar of applesauce? Difficult question. Because there is applesauce in the glass. Now, this glass has an identity. Why? Because of what's in it. The content gives the glass the identity. This is simply a glass. But this is a glass of apple juice. Now, bring it down. This is a child, but we don't know whose. Just a child or a man. this is a child of God. Why? Because God lives in that man. And in the New Testament, we read 172 times that we are in Christ and Christ is in us. Once Christ is in us, we are Christians, we are children of God. Not because we are so wonderful, not because we are such great people. Content in us, because God lives in us. And because God lives in me, I know who I am. I am a child of God. That's my identity. And that identity is permanent. It will never be changed. It will never be taken away. And it determines how I live. You know, most of you know my office. You know, when you come in, usually Tina sits there. She looks better than Sigi, but now it's Sigi this week because Tina is on vacation. And then you go in, and then there's my office. Usually when students or guests come in, they usually go to Tina and ask if I'm there. When she says yes, they knock on the door, and then I say, come in, then they open the door, and then I sit down, and then we talk. It's interesting, when Eva Maria comes, she's Wallace or Lisa or Lucas, they do it very differently. Eva Maria comes in, opens the door, swings it open, says, hi Tina, swings my door open, that everything shatters, comes around, sits on my lap. The students don't do that, which I'm grateful for. Why does Eva behave so differently to the others? Because she knows who she is. She is my child. Once you know and really believe that you are God's child, you will behave very differently. But some of us don't believe it. Some of us still believe what the world says. I'm a failure. God may love me, but he doesn't like me. All these kind of things. Because we believe the voice of the world, not the voice of God. And Satan's first goal is to confuse us in our identity. And he doesn't care where you find your identity, as long as you don't find it in Jesus Christ. There are three ways by which we try to find our identity. There are three areas I want to point out. The first one is, we try to find our identity through our occupation, unseren Beruf. You know, I ask somebody, you can switch it off, thanks. I ask sometimes when I'm sitting in the plane or whatever, you ask the person next to you, who are you? Oh, I sometimes deliberately, by the way, I don't ask, what do you do? Sometimes it's fun. You say, who are you? They think my German is not very well or my English is not very well. So they say, well, I'm a businessman. Then you can say, well, what are you when you retire? Well, I'm a retired businessman. Well, that's great. Wonderful. Great future. What are you when you die? A dead businessman. Great. You ask a lady, who are you? Well, I'm a housewife. I'm a mother. Well, who are you once your children are gone? What are you then? Well, not sure. Mother without children. And you know, this is why not a few women, once the children leave home, they fall into deep depression. It's a so-called empty nest syndrome. When the children move out, mothers lose their identity. This is why some top managers, once they retire, they are not sick, but they die 2 years after their retirement because they don't know who they are. Because their identity is simply their profession. Who are you? I'm a mountain guide. Well, who are you if you lose a leg? Mountain guide with one leg. Well, that's bad. Who are you? I'm a doctor, I'm a surgeon. Well, who are you if you lose three fingers? You see, what I want to show you with that is you can never find your identity in your profession. This is what the world tries to tell you. But it's very shaky. It always depends on circumstances. Who are you? Well, I'm a model. Well, what are you if you're fat and ugly? Well, fat and ugly model. Well, there aren't any of those. You see, as a child of God, of course you can earn your money as a model. But you are not a model. You are a child of God. As a child of God, you can make your living as a mountain guide, of course. But you are not a mountain guide, you are a child of God. I'm a lawyer, I'm a judge, I'm whatever. You say, I'm a lawyer, what are you if you lose your mind? Some lawyers wouldn't make a difference, but you know what I mean. I always remember the story, I often tell it, but it's quick to tell. A girl, Helen, she was here, put it down, oh, almost 10 years ago, I'm sorry. 9 years ago, haven't found a better example since. But Helen was here, I was in Australia preaching, and she came up to me and she said she wants to come to Austria for half a year, but she doesn't believe in Jesus, if she can come. I said, well, that's fine, come anyways. You just need to do a little bit what we tell you, you know, when you help around, you know. You need to come to the staff meeting and so on. She said, okay, I can do that. So she came, and she was a wonderful girl, lovely girl. She stayed with us half a year. But I realized every time we had a staff meeting, we usually have a devotion with it, she would always just look at the floor. She would sit there, look at the floor, and when I said, amen, she would look up again. And half a year went by, and the very last week, actually, I got to talk with her about it, and I asked her, I said, Helen, why are you always so negative when it comes to the Word of God? And she said, well, I'm afraid when I give in to Jesus, I lose my identity. And then I just read a book a week before that, so I had a good question. It was in the book. So I said, Helen, who are you? You tell me you're afraid to lose your identity. Who are you? She said, I'm Helen. I said, no, that's your name. That was in the book. She said, Helen. I said, no, that's your name. And she said, oh, yeah, that's true. Well, I said, who are you? I'm Australian. I said, no, that's your nationality. Yeah, well, who are you? Well, I want to be a nurse. Well, that's your profession. Who are you? Finally, I ran out of question and she ran out of answers. But then I said, Helen, do me a favor. Sit down tonight and please think about it. Who are you? What's your identity? Because I want to know what you are afraid of losing. And tell me tomorrow morning who you are. And it was so cute because next morning, this was the old building still, I remember exactly where it was, walking over here. Helen came towards me with a big smile on her face. I thought, I'm sure she thought of something else. And she said, you know, Hans-Peter, I've given my life to Jesus last night because I don't know who I am. Today I know who I am. I'm a child of God. Then she knew who she was. Without that, you do not know who you are. Some people try to identify themselves by their behavior. That's the second thing. Profession is the first thing. Secondly, by their behavior. In springtime, we always have a group of alcoholics at my place. They're all dry alcoholics. But you know, some people, you ask them, of those people, who are you? They say, I'm an alcoholic. Well, actually, that's not a great thing because it's true, it's important to identify that you have a real problem, that you are an alcoholic in a sense, you will always remain one, but that's not your identity. Why is that important? Because when you believe I am an alcoholic, what is the most natural thing for an alcoholic to do at night? To get drunk. What is the most unnatural thing for an alcoholic to do? To stay sober. So if you believe that this is who I am, drinking is the most natural thing for you to do. But if this alcoholic learns to believe, well, I have a problem with alcohol, but that's not who I am. I'm a child of God. What is the most natural thing for a child of God to do at night? Well, certainly not to get completely drunk. It's not natural. It's unnatural. Because we behave according to what we believe about ourselves. This is 2 years ago. I was speaking in Germany somewhere. It never happened to me like this, but I talked with a man. He was a bit interesting, let's put it this way. But he came to me after I spoke there, and I asked him about who he is and what he does and so on. And his first words were, or his third sentence, something like this, what did he say? I have to translate in English. I'm a psychotic, psychisch krank, and I'm schizophrenic. I'm a Christian, but I regularly go into the red light district to buy myself a woman there, the prostitute. So he said, I'm a psychotic, how do you say that in English? Psychotic, is that correct? And I'm schizophrenic, that's what he says. And then I thought, because I prepared this thing just a month before that, I thought, that's interesting. He believes I'm a psychotic and I'm schizophrenic. What is the most natural thing for a schizophrenic person to do? To go to church on Sunday and go to a prostitute on Monday. It's normal if you're schizophrenic. I told him, I don't believe you're schizophrenic. You're totally normal. You're a child of God. Because as long as you believe you are dead, you will behave accordingly. You see, what we believe about ourselves has so much to do with what we behave. Also, last year, I spoke in England at a Bible school, and a girl came up to me, and she was such a nice girl, a bright girl, just was good to talk with her. And I spent some time with her, about whatever, 20 minutes. And the next day she came to me under tears and she said, the first day she said to me, you know what, Hans-Peter, I need to confess, I have ADD, attention deficit disorder. In German we say ADS, Aufmerksamkeitsdefizitsyndrom. And I talked with her for a while. I said, you know, one thing I can tell you, you do not have ADD. You are a totally beautiful, clever, nice girl. Next day she came to me, she had tears, she was crying, and she said, you know, Hans-Peter, you were the first man since years who told me I'm normal. See, she was made to believe because she didn't have the highest IQ. The parents were embarrassed. So what did I do? Well, she's sick, ADD. And they make this girl believe she has ADD. She has not. She just doesn't have the highest IQ, which is not very helpful all the time anyways. This girl was totally normal. But you see, if you believe about yourself, and we have many of those, I'm a useless, unattractive, ungifted Christian. You know how you behave? Like a useless, unattractive, ungifted Christian. Because you believe a lie. That's the lie that Satan wants us to believe. We find our identity by what we think about ourselves or by what other people say about ourselves. And the third area is we try, among Christians, find identity through religion. You ask people, well, in terms of Christianity, who are you? They would say, well, I'm a Catholic. The other one says, I'm a Protestant. The other one says, I'm a Baptist. The other one says, I'm a Pentecostal. Well, if somebody says, I'm a Catholic, well, that may be the denomination you grew up in, but I know many lost people who are Catholic. Others say, I'm a Lutheran. I'm a Protestant. Well, I know many Lutherans who couldn't care less about the Word of God or about the Bible. What does it mean, I'm a Lutheran? Well, what are you? The other one says, well, I'm a Baptist. Well, what does that mean? You got wet when you were older? And what do you believe? I know Baptists who couldn't care less about the Bible. I'm a Pentecostal. Well, what is that? You raise your hands a little higher, sing a little louder. Is that the difference? What is that? You know who you are? You're a child of God. I grew up in a Lutheran church, and I'm very grateful. It's a wonderful church we have. It's the church that I came to know my Lord Jesus Christ, and I love to go there. But don't ever call me a Lutheran. I'm a child of God. I'm here in the family of torchbearers. It's a wonderful family. But don't ever call me a torchbearer. I'm not. I'm a child of God. Torchbearer is not my identity. Neither is Lutheran. Neither is mountain guide. Neither is director. I'm a child of God. That's who I am. In 2 Corinthians 5:17 is one of my favorite verses where it says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We are a new creation. We are children of God. We have been transformed from being lost into being saved, from a sinner into a saint. That's who we have become. I met a guy I know quite well. He came in and he wrote to me and he said, I'm in a group now. They're nice people. They're nice Christians. But they make us say every time we meet, the first sentence, we have to go around in a circle. And everybody has to say, my name is Günther, whatever, and I am a sinner. Everybody has to say that. And he says, after that, we're all depressed. I said, well, no wonder. No wonder you're depressed. I will get depressed. Well, we know that we are sinners, but that's not our identity. My identity is I'm a child of God. Why don't you go around in a circle and say, I'm a child of God? It would be very different. The poor wouldn't be depressed any longer because they believe a lie. And you see, the word is used when a person comes into Christ, the word is used in metamorphose, you know, metamorphosis. We are being changed. We are a new creation. That's what it says. We are a child of God. It's like, you know, the caterpillar and the butterfly. You know, with a cow, it doesn't happen. They just grow. A sheep just grows. But a butterfly actually changes. An interesting thing is, once a caterpillar becomes a butterfly, you don't say to the butterfly, what a wonderful converted worm. You don't say that. You say, what a beautiful butterfly. But we always hang on to this, what a wonderful converted sinner. Well, we have become a saint. I know we are sinful. There's no doubt about that. We must never deny that. But that's not my identity. And of course, it's a wonderful process to learn to be who we are, a child of God, and to live like it. I want to close with one verse from Numbers 13. Number 13, that's the dritte Buch Mose, as vierte Buch Mose. Number 13 and verse 33, there's an interesting little verse. It's when the 12 spies, Moses sent the 12 spies into the promised land, and they came back and said, it's a good land, but there are some big people in there. We cannot defeat them. And they say then, in Numbers 13, verse 33, 10 of those 12 spies report, we saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. Nephilim are big people. Now listen, we seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. If you believe you are a grasshopper, you know what other people see when they look at you? A grasshopper. When you believe I'm an ugly, sinful person, if you believe that, when people look at you, they see an ugly, sinful person. If you believe I'm a child of God, I don't deserve it. But I'm a saint, I'm saved, I'm loved by God, I'm a special child. People look at you and they see a very special child of God. Satan doesn't care where you try to find your identity, whether good or bad, doesn't matter, as long as you don't find it in Christ. So don't let ourselves be confused by Satan, but let's remember who we are, children of God. That's my prayer for myself and for every one of you. Dear Lord, we want to thank you so much for the grace you have poured out on us, that we have become your precious children. Father, we no longer want to try to find our identity by who we are or by what we are not. We no longer want to find it by our profession, by how wonderful we are or how terrible we do. We no longer want to find our identity by our addiction or by our behavior, but we want to find it in you. We don't want to find our behavior by the denomination we grew up in, by the way of worship that we meet on Sunday services, by the vocabulary that we use when we talk about you. We want to remember that we are your children. We can never be more than your children, and we must never be less than your children. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you clarified for us who we have become in Christ. And this is our identity. It will never change, whether now or in eternity, because you are faithful. So, Lord, impress this on our hearts, that whenever we are in doubt, we remember who we are in Christ Jesus. And in your own name I pray. Amen.